Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my infinite pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four delightful, exciting, and eager players of this game. Three of them have played it with great style and panache in the past, and that is Graham Norton and Ross Noble and Clement Freud, and someone who's never played the game before. It's a pleasure also to welcome Charles Collingwood. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the peasants at the Festival Fringe in Edinburgh. As we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is how to remember people's names. You have 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
How to remember people's names presupposes that you have forgotten their names. So a very good idea is to go up to someone and say, "Are you Neil Hamilton?" The likelihood is that they will infinitely explain exactly who they are, and then you will know. My friend Robert Morney used to say, when he was unable to place someone, "Do you ever go back, dear?" And it's extraordinary how often someone... I said someone before.
I know. Graham Norton, you challenged.
Do you know, I have a funny feeling he said someone before.
Yes, he did. He generously drew attention to it. So, Graham, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, which is how to remember people's names. There are 30 seconds available, and you start now.
At parties, a very useful thing I find in remembering people's names is to bring with you a small portable tattoo kit. Then... people reveal their identities, simply place that thing on their forehead. The needles are also handy for picking up cocktail sausages or small bits of cheese. Because often people don't provide enough toothpicks. Call me whiny, but I do find it irritating, particularly when you don't even remember the name of the person who's holding the party, so you can't complain.
So, Graham Norton, speaking as the whistle went, gains an extra point, and anybody speaking at that moment gets those extra points, and with other points in the round. In fact, he's the only one to have scored any points in that round, and he went for 30 seconds on that subject. And, Graham, it's your turn to begin, actually, and the subject I have in front of me is what I wear under my kilt. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
What I wear under my kilt is shrouded in mystery and a thick layer of dust. I find it an odd thing, the kilt and what is worn under it, because it's always implied that...
Charles Collingwood, Charles.
Hesitation.
Yes, we interpret that as hesitation. He stumbled, Charles, so you've got in with a correct challenge, and you have 45 seconds, so your first attempt in just a minute... Go on it, what I wear under my kilt, starting now.
I once received a letter from a man in Scotland asking me if I would travel up and play cricket for him. I was happy to do this until he said in his letter...
You always enjoy it so much when you make mistakes, they clap every one of them.
Well, they'll enjoy me then.
Chairman, you challenge first. Repetition of letter. Yes, right. What I wear under my kilt, 34 seconds available, starting now.
Grammatically, I think the subject should be what I was under my kilt.
Ross challenged.
Deviation, it isn't.
I think they can express that thought within the show and still not be deviating. But we enjoyed the thought and your contribution so much, Ross. No, I'll give you a bonus point for that, because the audience really appreciated it. Clement keeps the subject and a point for being interrupted. What I wear under my kilt, Clement, 29 seconds, starting now.
Underpants, mostly, because I don't come from...
Ross, you challenge.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Mostly. So, once you've got pants on, you surely can't wear anything else on top of them as well.
So, yes, you can.
Oh, can you?
Yes.
So, what was your challenge?
I have no idea.
Right.
I just I just hadn't really said much, I thought.
I know. You could have had him for hesitation.
I'll have him for hesitation.
No, it's too late now, I'm sorry. No, we can't have retrospective challenges. So, Clement, another point to you, because it was incorrect. And what I wear under my kilt is still there. 26 seconds starting now.
Also a truss and a hearing aid.
Graham Norton, new challenge.
He stopped.
I know he did. He was so amused at his own joke, he couldn't keep going. So, Graham, you got in with hesitation, 21 seconds. Tell us something about what I wear under my kilt, starting now.
I don't mean to criticise this lovely country, but it's not exactly the south of France. So why people decided to wear a skirt and no knickers seems extraordinary. Big woolly pants, that's the way to go. It's freezing out there. And also, tartany stuff, it gets very wet as well. So perhaps plastic should have been invented here.
So, Graham Norton is surging forward, speaking again as the whistle went, getting that extra point. He's now in a strong lead. He's just ahead of Clement Freud, Ross Noble and Charles Collingwood in that order. Charles, it's your turn to begin. The subject, oh, this is a good one. I don't know if it's been chosen specially. Archers. Tell us something about archers in just a minute, starting now.
The Archers is celebrating its golden anniversary this year. I am particularly proud of that, because it is no longer a soap opera, more of an institution, and something that I feel the public love dearly. For my part, I have played the part of Brian Aldridge for 26 years, a character that the general populace find less appealing. But nonetheless, I enjoy so much the fervour and the drama that is created for me by our scriptwriters. Mercifully, I am not in true life married to Jennifer, but to the girl who plays Shula, Judy Bennett, the light of my life. And Shula is such a joy, as is my wife. My middle name is Henry.
So Ross Noble went for a full 60 seconds there.
Ross Noble?
Yes, that's right. And I won the point.
I went for 60 seconds.
I know.
Nearly killed me.
I know. So Charles Collingwood then went for a full 60 seconds without being interrupted. So he not only gets a point for not being interrupted, he gets that bonus point for speaking when the whistle went to the end, and he's in second place. And I must say that, by the way, I should explain to our listeners, the reason the audience were laughing so much at Charles, because he did it extremely well, was that his actions and animation as he was trying to keep going was such, it had the audience in stitches. He actually acted far stronger than he spoke. Well, well done, Charles. Ross, will you take the next subject, which is synchronized swimming? I'm sure you've got something to tell us about that subject in this game, starting now.
I find synchronized swimming very boring indeed. It tends to be the same old shapes time and again, because I think it would be much better if they were to simply introduce a live shark into the swimming pool, seeing the bodies writhing around, and they'd all have to copy each other as well. Sometimes, when the swimming suits come off, they all disrobe.
Graham, challenge.
Oh, no, there might have been a... Oh, no, I'm a fool.
Now he's hesitated.
You were trying to have him on swimming.
Actually, I was going to do swimming, but the swimming's in the tank.
Yes, you can repeat the words on the card either together or separately. And, okay, he did repeat swimming, but it's on the card, so an incorrect challenge. So, Ross Noble, you've still got synchronized swimming, and you've got 42 seconds to continue starting now.
I feel that it would be also made incredibly difficult if they were to do it in jelly or possibly a thick golden syrup. Then they would be able to move very slowly indeed and practice maneuvers which had never before been seen.
Clement Freud challenge.
Three woods. Repetition.
Yes, wood. Oh. Wood this and wood that.
You're a hard man, but yes. Fair.
It was a correct challenge. So, Clement, you take over. Synchronized swimming, 28 seconds available, starting now.
I would fight for the right of these people to do whatever they want in the privacy of their own pools. And most of them, I seem to notice, are Belgians. Now, I'm not keen on... I don't know what was going on in God's mind when he invented Belgians.
Ross challenge.
Repetition of Belgians.
Belgium.
He said Belgians before, and he said Belgium this time.
I'll get you, Freud.
An incorrect challenge. Another point to Clement, 11 seconds. Synchronized swimming starting now.
There are Dutch synchronized swimmers who come from Holland or the Netherlands, as some people like to call it. They get into a subterranean aqua.
Freud was then speaking as the whistle went and gained other points in the round, and so he's moved forward. He's equal with Graham Norton in the lead, and 2 points behind is Charles Collingwood, and then 1 point behind is Ross Noble. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, the giraffe. Tell us something about the giraffe in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
The giraffe I would like to recommend to all my listeners is at the Suffolk Zoo in Kessingland. You, from London, drive up the A12 via Brentwood, Cheltenham, Colchester, bypass Ipswich, Saxmundham.
Charles, you've challenged.
Being a new boy, I'm not trying to be impertinent, but it would seem more like a sort of map, rather than talking about giraffes. Deviation.
How else would you get to Kessingland?
Well, I don't want to get there, so...
He deviated you right
Thank
from
you
giraffes
very much,
onto
Nicholas.
A route map, and so there are 44 seconds available. Will you tell us something about the giraffe, starting now?
I would like to say that when I drive into London from north of the area to the centre, I pass London Zoo.
Ross, tell us.
I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
How good of you. I'll carry on.
I don't know if you're wrong until you tell me what your challenge
is. London?
What's that?
Repetition of London?
Yes, London and London Zoo.
But did he not say London Zoo?
London Zoo and London, are they two different things?
No.
London apostrophe S Zoo.
Is it London
Zoo? They are, and
then
we all don't live in the zoo, but...
Oh, I think the word London was repeated.
Yeah,
I think that's
I
fair enough, Ross. So you have the subject, you have 34 seconds on the giraffe, starting now.
I find that the giraffe has possibly got the longest neck of any animal alive. That's probably because it's very difficult for them to get scarves. The knitwear industry doesn't cater for the sore necks of the giraffe. Why you would have a particularly ill neck if you're wearing... It's nonsense. It's quite clearly... It quite clearly isn't anything, is it?
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of neck.
Yes, that's right. And you have the subject, you have another point, and you have 19 seconds, the giraffe, starting now.
England once had a 5'9" goalkeeper about whom it was written, unlike the female giraffe, he has considerable trouble with the high balls. I have always remembered that because giraffes are such an extraordinary shape.
Graham, challenge.
Oh, I might be right. I think giraffes was repeated.
No, he said giraffe. It was in the singular the first time.
But wasn't it female giraffes?
You're right. It was female giraffes, wasn't it? Well listened, Graham.
Don't look so surprised, Nicholas.
You've got in, Graham, with 1 second to go on the giraffe, starting now.
In Dublin's Natural History Museum...
Right, so Graham Norton was speaking as a whistle, went gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's now in the lead, actually, just ahead of Clement Freud, and then Charles Collingwood and Ross Noble in that order. And Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is moving house. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Thanks to employing a cheap builder, my mother's bungalow actually shifts slightly in the wind. Neighbours gather to watch it. It's the moving house. It's attracted a lot of attention from the moving statue that was close by. Pilgrims now come to that lady who gave birth to me's residence and stare in awe. She hates it herself because, of course, little ornaments fall off all the time. Poor cow. I do find that it is fun to sit in, though, when the wind is blowing and the thing is shifting.
Charles.
Now, that must have been hesitation.
It was hesitation,
yes,
Charles.
Well,
all right, then.
Yes, you've got in there, Charles. And another point, of course, to you. And you have 24 seconds. You tell us something about moving house, starting now.
I've always been told that after death, moving house
is the most stressful thing you can go through. If you clear out a house, you find so many artifacts that need wrapping that you no longer care for. And so, to me...
Kemper Freud challenge.
Deviation.
What?
You don't move house after death.
I beg to differ. How do you know? None of us know that.
Well, you don't move house. Someone else might move you.
You don't know. We none of us know. We may move. Everything just moves up with us. But maybe not. Maybe. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
I made a mistake.
I think you take your possessions with you. I think you should explain to the listeners the other character you were doing, Sewell. What's his name? Brian Sewell.
No, it wasn't. I was trying to do Kenneth Williams because he was so good at it.
I thought you were...
No, I can do... I'll do Brian Sewell later.
I thought you were doing Brian Sewell then, actually.
No, Brian Sewell talks St. Gerard. Right. Extraordinary way of speaking. Right. And,
so he was
maybe
trying
I'll save him for later.
Right. And they get utterly confused. It is radio. They can't
yes,
see
sorry.
So, Clement, you clearly got in with 2 seconds ago on Moving House, starting now.
Moving House.
Right, so Clement Freud speaking as a whistle end, gained an extra point for doing so. He's moved forward. He's just in the lead now ahead of Graham Norton and Charles Collingwood. Your turn to begin. The subject, cobbles. Tell us something about cobbles in this game, starting now.
Much as I like the sight of cobblestone streets, I do find that driving along them gives one a headache. This is because the noise that emanates from the street level...
Ross Noble challenge.
Repetition of street?
You see a street. You
I'm sure I did.
Yes, you definitely did. And so, 47 seconds available for you, Ross, to take over the subject of cobbles, starting now.
One of the lovely sounds I like to hear is hooves on cobbles. It sounds a little bit like coconuts, which a friend of mine was actually tragically killed when a mass of coconut ran over him.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two coconuts.
There were too many coconuts, I'm
did
afraid.
Did I not... Coconut and then coconut?
No.
No,
no. Okay. I thought I did, but I must have been very wrong.
They'll struggle for their points. Clement, you have cobbles, and you have 36 seconds starting now.
Cobbles would have been on the thoroughfare along which Molly Malone plied her trade as she wheeled her wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cobbles and mussels, alive, alive. Oh, she was a fishmonger, and sure, it was no wonder, for so were her father and mother before.
He's broken!
Yes. No, you were challenged quite a while back, Clement.
I think he was talking a load of cobbles, actually, because he was obviously deviating.
Yes, because it wasn't...
Because she didn't say, she said cockles.
She said cockles and mussels,
which, of course, Clement knows.
She had a cold.
I'm sorry, Clement.
And, it was cockles and mussels. Cobbles, well challenged, and a point to you, Charles. Cobbles is with you, and there are 22 seconds available starting now.
When it's been raining, if you look down at the road, the reflection of the cobbles enables you to see your face. This is rather a surprise.
Claim challenged.
You're saying this aloud. You're just... you don't want people knowing you do that.
Listen.
On your hands and knees in the rain. Just to look at yourself.
Grim.
Go home, a bathroom, use it.
Be kind to a radio actor.
I know, I was saving you there for yourself. Mm. The so, psychiatrist's chair will be the next program you appear on.
Oh, I'd love that.
So what is the challenge, Graham?
Just deviation from, well, anything really. Just
well, the thing is, within the rules
how
of just a minute...
How did you know that? When it rains, I've been here months. When it rains, you look in there and you see your face.
I must explain to the listeners, there are a lot of cobbled streets in Edinburgh. And if Charles is so strange that he does look down at the cobbles and looks his reflection when they're wet, well, then that's something strange that he does. And he wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute. Maybe a devious idea, but it's not devious... speech. So, incorrect challenge from Graham on you, Charles. You keep the subject. You have 10 seconds. Go, starting now.
Only this morning, as I watched, I saw this pimple on my lip, and I thought that must be covered with Clearasil before this evening. And so when I...
Charles Collingwood. Speaking of the whistleman, gained an extra point. And for someone who's not played the game before, he's doing remarkably well. He's now in second place, only 1 point behind our leader, Clement Freud. And I must explain to all the people here, the fringe here, if you go around Edinburgh, you'll see somebody on his hands and knees squeezing a pimple into a cobble. You'll know it's Charles Collingwood, but we all have our idiosyncrasies, and
one's mine.
And that one's his. And we're now with you, Ross Noble, to begin. The subject is clutching at straws. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Clutching at straws is the best thing to do if you find yourself drowning in milkshake. Perhaps you should working at a well-known burger restaurant and while stocking up the machine, you slip forward. The best thing to do is to grab with your hands and get yourself out of the trouble that you're in. Or you could possibly drink your way out. But the straw is the best method of removal from the thick, glutinous liquid that is dragging you down into the strawberry abyss that is a large cup of shake. The other thing that I like to do when I'm clutching at straws...
Clement Freud, child.
Repetition of thing.
Yes, you'd have mentioned the word thing before. It's a pity, I know.
Yep.
I know
you've
the...
You've done it again, Freud!
The audience enjoyed your surreal ideas there, but afraid it was a correct challenge. 25 seconds, Clement. Clutching at straws, starting now.
If you have a lap dancer sitting on you, then clutching at straws, especially if she's wearing a hula skirt, would be a tremendous mistake because as clutching straw meets clutching straw, so does she...
Ross,
well, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't mind telling you. Straw, repetition of straw.
That's right, because there's something on the card. It's clutching at straws.
Yeah.
And you repeated the word straw twice.
But straw is in straws.
Clement, you played the game with me for 36 years, and I think you know your...
Don't you think Clement's clutching at straws?
We just mix up the letters. This is a good game now.
Yes. Then it'd just be countdown, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's so easy. Some of those letters were in there.
Yes. Clutch, right. So, 9 seconds. Back with you, Ross Noble. Clutching at straws, 9 seconds, starting now.
I once entered the international sponsored Move a Haystack tournament. It really was a marvellous event, all for charity, and I found myself clutching at straws.
So, Ross Noble speaking as the whistle went, and once again, same thing happened last time we were in Edinburgh. It's all extremely close. Clement Freud's just in the lead, 2 ahead of Charles Collingwood, and then 4 ahead of Ross Noble, and 3 ahead of Graham Norton, then Ross Noble. It's all very close, and it's all great fun. And Charles, it's also your turn to begin. A nice topical subject for Edinburgh, it's Arthur's Seat. Tell us something about Arthur's Seat in this game, starting now.
After about 20 minutes on this programme, I feel that my presence...
Graham Norton challenge.
Oh, I do feel horrible. Look, but it was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
Yes.
But he's only played the game once before. No, he's never played the game before, has he? And,
time's dragging, isn't it?
No. But as... listen, as it was hesitation, but as he's never played the game before, and I'm allowed to give him one. Every newcomer is allowed one dispensation.
You are the sweetest
and
man.
This is his dispensation. It's the last one I can give to you, Charles. Okay. But Arthur's Seat, we won't charge any points on that. You keep going. 54 seconds, starting now.
I am to just a minute what Arthur Scargill is to the Harrogate Young Conservatives. And as our politics moves further to the right, I wouldn't want to be in Arthur's seat. He seems to be a forgotten man. But behind us here in Edinburgh rises a rock from the ground. A large piece of turf covering this stony promontory, which I believe is covered with courting couples on warm summer nights. Sadly, I have passed that stage in life when the idea of a night on a freezing cold ledge gives me any pleasure at all. But I can see through my binoculars from my flat those people having all the fun in the world when the weather isn't pouring with rain.
Thank you. Charles Collingwood started with the subject, and in spite of interruptions, he finished with the subject, which means he had points in the round and one for speaking as the whistle went. He has now moved dramatically forward. He's only 1 point behind Graham Norton, who was our leader. And I mention these things with emphasis because we're moving into the final round. And he's only 1 point ahead of Clement Freud, who's in third place. And he's only 3 points ahead of Ross Noble, who's in fourth place. It's still anybody's contest, if you're interested in the contest. Ross Noble, the final round, and it's your turn to begin. So, the subject, answer machine messages. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
I don't really like answer machine messages because they tend to go something like this. Hi, it's John here. I was just wondering, beep, and that tends to sound like they're swearing at you. That kind of vulgarity isn't what I want when I come in of an evening. I'd like to hear something like, hello there, this is Carol Smiley. I'd like to come round to your house and do it up, specially for your pleasure. That's the kind of thing that really would make me happy. I've got...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
Smile, kind, like. You choose.
You said smiley anyway.
No, kind, like.
That's right. All right, Clement. You have another point. You have the subject. And you have 35 seconds. Answer machine messages starting now.
If you want to buy marijuana, press the hash key. Is... possibly my favorite telephone answering machine message. Sadly, I do not smoke in any shape or form and do not have such a...
Ross Noble challenge.
He's clearly stoned.
Hesitation. So, Ross, you've got the subject back. There's 18 seconds available. Answer machine messages starting now.
I got home the other night and there was a message from my dealer. Hello, this is Clement Freud, he said. I'd like to come round and give you some of the finest drugs that money can buy. I thought, surely that's not acceptable from a man of your stature. But he did come round later on that day and something hilarious happened.
Ross Noble finishing in strength and with a flourish brought that round to an end, got an extra point for doing so, and also brought the show to an end. And yes.
Well, we rehearsed. Well done.
The series is carrying on, so I hope they'll see us next year when we come up to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yay! Rehearsed. Well done.
Yes. You've got us a rebooking. Thank you very much. There we are. So, actually, I must give you the final score. I'd like to give you the final score. And it's delightful to say that they're all so equally balanced. There's only 1 point separating most of them. Ross Noble was only just in fourth place, 2 points behind our joint second place, Clement Freud and Charles Collingwood. And great. Congratulations to Charles. First time, really. Second place. Only 1 point behind Graham Norton, who is therefore our winner this week. And it remains for me to say thank you to our four delightful players of the game, Graham Norton, Ross Noble, Clement Freud and Charles Collingwood. I also thank Janice Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She'd blown a whistle when the 60 seconds was up. And also we're grateful to our producer-director, that is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, which we enjoy playing so much. And we're also indebted to our audience here at the Pleasance on the Fringe in Edinburgh, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. Come back next year to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here on the panel, and me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in when we play this game again. Bye.